All right, 10:03 KMSD. Indeed, it is the Saturday, January 31st, 2026 edition of Coach's Corner. And we start our Coach's Corner like we do each and every Saturday. Head coach of the Milbank girls basketball team, Coach Howard, is on line one. Coach, thank you so much for jumping on. Do a little pregame as we've got I don't want to say a makeup game, but an added game coming up later today.
Yeah, yep. Fun day of basketball. Boys at 3:30 and the girls at 6, both in Madison, both big games, and yeah, exciting day.
So let's break down the week that was. We start with a tough loss a week ago against Groton, and a game that you kind of controlled a lot of the way through. Foul trouble kind of got you there at the end of that game.
I don't know. I think it took everybody a while to get over it. You know, Monday at practice, you could still kind of feel it was on everybody's mind. You know, we felt like kind of controlled, not controlled, probably not the right, well, a little bit. Like, we were in the lead 3.5 of the 4 quarters. That's not good enough, but it was kind of right there. You know, Groton's very senior-led. A very senior-led team, and they just kind of got us at the end, hit a couple big shots. Foul trouble. Yeah, it didn't help. Bell fouled out there with, I can't remember exactly, but around 5 minutes left in the fourth, and I think we lost the lead somewhere around 3 minutes left in the fourth. And, they're a good team. It's a tough place to play. Groton's a tough place to play. Like I said, their girls have been through a lot of battles, and, you know, we chalked it up to a learning experience, and what can we take from it and learn from it and, move on, I guess. One thing I always talk to the girls about is, hey, did you leave everything on the court? Did you play as good teammates, and did we give ourselves a chance to win? And I think you can check all three of them boxes. We just couldn't close it out Saturday.
And I think that kind of, you know, obviously young players, always a learning experience, but to try not to get into foul trouble, to try to avoid maybe those early tic-tac fouls, because sometimes that can bite you at the end of the game.
Yeah, and you know, when you say tic-tac, we always say, let's not have the stupid fouls where, you know you're not going to get the rebound and you push in the back or you know, the illegal screens, you know, just things like that we want to avoid. You know, some of the tic-tac fouls, I'd even say they're 50-50. Like, mm-hmm. One ref might call it, one might not. So, you know, a couple of the fouls, you just kind of, you caught the short end of the stick, so to speak, and you don't even know what to tell the player because they're flustered, and it's like, well, you know, you got to be aggressive, and this time you got called. But, yeah, you know, when you pick up that third or fourth one, you know, you got to be aware of it and, you know, just move on. But, it was unfortunate, but you move on, and we just couldn't find. The biggest thing is we just lost our rhythm offensively in that fourth quarter. We only scored 5 points, and that's something we got to do better at is, you know, no matter who's in or out, we got to find ways to score. And, you know, there was a lot of positives in that game, though. Jerrica Locke, one of Groton's guards, I think she's one of the best on-ball defenders full court in Class A. And, she's locked onto our eighth grader, which happens to be her cousin. I thought Susie, I don't know off the top of my head, but she didn't have many turnovers. So I thought Susie really hung in there really good with her. We didn't have turnovers. Their press was really, well, matter of fact, they kind of pulled it off there towards later in the second quarter because it just wasn't effective, and Susie was not turning the ball over. And like I said, Jerrica's very good defender. So Susie did a lot of good things for us. Anna and Bell were, they really, you know, didn't really have an answer until the very end there. And, you know, Avery had some outstanding passes. She's just a little off on her outside shot, but recovered from that the next night. But you know, so we had a lot of good things that game. We just couldn't end it, and I think the girls are, you know, the girls did what they just at practice. Like, how can we get better? What can we do better? How do we finish games out? And that's where we are now. So there's
a good chance, and again, there's a lot of basketball to be played. I mean, you've only played 11 games, which we'll kind of get to in a minute. You've got a lot of games to play between now and the end of the year, especially when you look at some of the other teams. I mean, Groton's played three more games than you have. Aberdeen Ron Colley's played two more games than you've had. So you got a lot of games coming up. But you right now sit in third in the region standings, Groton in second. You very well maybe get another shot at Groton down the road.
Well, there, yeah. I mean, you try not, honestly, I really kind of tell the girls, and I try to go by it too, it's one game at a time, right? Like, we're just, it's one game at a time. But head coaches and coaching staff do, you know, I think that's part of your job. You do look forward a little bit. And, yeah, we have, it's not even that we have a lot of games left. We have a lot of big games left. And, you know, not to get too dorky with you here on all the math and stuff, but we have a lot of games where we could, if we win, we could get points, the power points, and how that system works in the sweet, or, you know, to get to the Sweet 16 for your region seeding. So, like, for example, tonight, if we could pick up a win tonight, it'd be a 50-point win, which I think would probably leapfrog us to the two seed. So there's a lot, you know. Hamlin obviously is, oh man, they're really good, but that'd be another 50 pointer. Ron Colley on Thursday, really good. That's another 50 pointer if you could get it. So, you know, when you get them 47 and 50 point wins, it really jumps you. And just another example on the other end, if you beat somebody that isn't going to have more than five wins, so they have four or less throughout the season when they end, so they end 2-18 or something, that one only gives you 41 points. So in a lot of cases, you'll actually go backwards when you beat a team with only four or less wins, compared to beating somebody over five wins.
So I like
the benchmarks are five, you know, five or less, between 5 and 10, between 10 and 15, and then between 15 and 20 wins at the end of the season. And each group there has a different power point that you're assigned for that win, if that kind of makes sense.
That was some good math and statistics right there. I'm glad you did that.
That's a lot of nerdy talk right there, isn't it?
That's
how it works. And I don't think people understand that. You know, it's the teams that are good, it's not that you just beat a good team. You know, it helps you for whether you can play a home game in the playoffs or not. And actually, Coach Didi and I just talked about that for about 15 minutes yesterday on the phone. So, yeah.
You should get some side hustle, open up a...
Well, that's like a Coach Townsend. That's Coach Townsend's job. He's kind of the math nerd, so he's got a program on his computer, and, oh, yeah, he follows that like a hawk, all that stuff. That's Coach Townsend's job.
So you did a nice job, obviously disappointing loss to Groton, but you did a nice job coming out, playing a strong game against Duel, really dominated from start to finish, and really got back on the winning track.
Well, it's what we hope we do tonight. I think almost outside of the Redfield game, I think the Redfield game's the only game we haven't done what I'm going to say, is we've really come out well in the first quarter. And, you know, hopefully that happens tonight too. But I think that's what happened against Duel. We had a really good first and even second quarter. I think that kind of takes the wind out of some teams when you do that, some of these teams. And they just couldn't recover from it. There was a lot of good things there. Anna was just, I had used the word unstoppable in the first half. Part of it was Avery's passing. She's just, holy smokes, Avery just, she just seems like she's a lock for 6, 7, 8 assists every night. And that's such a big deal because those are points, right? Like that's almost, if you, obviously it is points, if that you're getting somebody easy baskets. So not only, for example, did Avery have 10 points, but she had, I think, 9 assists. So she was a part of, you know, 18 points in the assist side and 10 points that she scored. But those two really were locked in. The whole team really was, but I just thought those two played really well. Bell was so hard to guard underneath, and it was just a lot for Clear Lake. We did try to switch defenses. I think we ran 4 different defenses in the first half, and they were something I'm really proud of the girls for, is we were switching them defenses without timeouts or dead balls. They'd just be getting back on defense, and I'd yell out a new defense, and they adjusted. And I don't think we had in the first half one screw-up where we left somebody unguarded because one of the girls didn't know what we were in. And it was a good night. It was a good night. Came out and played well. And now, you know, you get that one. Now we got a biggie tonight.
Yeah, and you've got, what, 4 games in 8 days. We've got today, yep. Coming up about 6 o'clock. That is the makeup game, or not makeup game, but again, yep, the added game. And then, of course, you got at Hamlin coming up on the 3rd. Then we've got, Roncalli on the 5th. And then back for the girls, the DAC 12. So you're going to be on the NBA schedule, 4 games in 8 days.
Well, yeah, and it's not even that. It's just they're all – every team we're going to play is just really good. I mean, Gayville Vollen tonight, everybody I talk to down south, all the coaches, like everybody feels this is a legit top 8 team in Class B that they're 11-1. They beat Centerville a couple weeks ago, who Centerville's really good. So this is a really good team, physical team tonight. Hamlin is obviously, you know, one of the top teams the last 5-6 years in Class A. They just beat Lennox last week. Roncalli's kind of, you know, they've kind of owned our region for a while, and they're really good. And then, yeah, and then anyone you play out of the DAC 12 from down south is going to be a solid team. So, yeah, it's a big 4 days, and yeah, but you just got to go, like we talked earlier, one at a time, worry about Gayville Vollen tonight, and then, you know, later tonight, tomorrow morning, we'll start worrying about Hamlin.
What is Gayville Vollen's record?
11-1. 11-1.
Because sometimes teams that aren't from the area that are 3-4 hours away, sometimes you just don't know a whole lot about them. But I think it's going to be interesting, Noah. That's a team that I don't know if nobody's ever played or hasn't played in a long time. So
I doubt it.
It's always fun for me anyway. It's just always fun to play a team that I didn't even know existed before we had it on the schedule. We were talking about it, so that's pretty cool.
They've had some. When I coached at Summit, I never matched up with them either, but they'd had some good teams, and I think the guy that's coached there, I think, coached for a while, and yeah, they're good. I mean, everybody you talk to, the other head coaches I've talked to from down there, and when you watch them, they're going to be a huge challenge tonight. I would say a little bit like us. They have two physical post-type players, probably similar size to us with them post players. They have a very good wing player, and then they have a really good, quick, good shooting point guard. So they're not real deep the way it looks. They try to really push the ball off rebounds, and they got a couple active guards that try to get steals, and they really try to get transition points. So a similar type team. The defenses they'll run is, you know, he runs a lot of man, I guess, and they mix in some zone, and he'll also run some of the, you know, what I guess coaches call junk defenses, where they maybe chase one or two people, and the rest of the girls are in a zone. So, like I said, kind of similar to us, and probably maybe similar-ish styles where they try to push and get transition points. And, yeah, 11-1. I mean, it's going to be a big game. Fun game. It's what you play for. Exciting.
Absolutely. Should be a fun week, a challenging week, Coach. We look forward to covering it, and we'll break it all down next Saturday. In the meantime, best of luck. Have a good, safe trip down. Take care of that cold, hoping you're feeling better.
And yeah, dang girls gave it to me. I said they're all starting to feel better because they gave it to me. That's how it goes. You got to pass it on. So now I'm going to try to pass it on here to somebody in my house, try to maybe give it to my wife or something.
There you go. I would have to say for giving you a cold, it's extra gassers in practice for the girls. Yes.
Yeah, I talked to him about it. I wasn't real happy.
Coach,
have a great day.
We'll talk to you next week, Coach. Appreciate it. Let's talk a little boys basketball next. We continue along with Coach's Corner. Coach Didi on line one. We're going to talk a little boys basketball. Coach, thank you so much as always. Good morning.
Yes, thanks for having me as always, too.
So we start with the loss this previous Saturday with Groton. As we were talking off the air a little bit, kind of prepping for the interview, I will repeat something I said. You know, I wouldn't feel too bad about losing to that Groton team. Man, that Groton team is good. And not only good, but just big, tall, and long.
Yeah, they really are. And that's what they've been for the last few years. The added element they have this year is the Sipple kid. You know, he's been in the program and playing, but this year he's a senior, 6'7". They haven't really had a true skilled big. So adding him into what they've had for years in 6'2 to 6'3 athletic guards with high IQ who can all shoot, yeah, they can hurt you in a lot of ways, and they've shown that throughout their schedule with a lot of the teams they've played.
Yeah, they kind of in control throughout the game. You fought, you did your best, but ultimately that's just a really good team who I would like to see Milbank avoid for as long as humanly possible.
Yeah, you know, you're always going to be ready to play them. You're always going to have a game plan, because I mean the reality is, I'm not trying to be cliche in coach talk, there's always a way. And when you've got a good team like I feel like we do, there's always a way, but you know those type of games, you're going to have to be really good. You're going to have to make a ton of shots. And on the other side, you're going to have to, when they miss, you're going to have to get a ton of rebounds. But no question about it, just like any region, everyone's always trying to get into seed positioning to avoid the most dominant team if you're not that team. So, yeah, as we go down the home stretch here, we want to try to keep winning games so we can make our path a little bit more friendly. Not easy, because our region's gotten much better, but if you can avoid Groton, that's a huge plus.
So you fast forward to Thursday and the doubleheader versus Duel. You get behind early, and then the unbelievable comeback there at the end to win the game. That had to feel good. I would imagine the players and coaches were pretty pumped up after that one.
Yeah, it was a really fun locker room. It wasn't a fun locker room at halftime, but you know what? It was a needed locker room at halftime, and this is a mature group, and you know they were fired up. They didn't even need me to come in there and light a fire, even though I did my best to motivate them at half and explain where we need to be better and things like that. They knew that. I could hear them talking in the locker room before we walked in as a coaching staff, and I was hearing all the right things from our leaders. And then in the second half, you know, we come out and we had the ball first, so we wanted to get a good look. We called one of our favorite sets and we hit a three off of it. But then we went on a little couple minute hiatus again of scoring, and they went on a 6-0 run. So we actually got down 12. And then from there, it was just guys just started making plays. And the biggest thing for us in every game, for the most part, our defense is always going to give us a chance. But we've got to keep working. We still have 8 games left, so we got to keep improving our shooting percentages. And it's funny, once a couple shots went in for us, they kind of opened up, and then the rest was kind of history down the stretch. But yeah, you watch that, our bench, that whole second half, how jacked up they were and excited, and then in the locker room, and that was a fun game to be a part of on the Milbank side.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong, obviously, but it just seems to me, after about 12 games for Milbank, the boys, it seems like the defense is always going to be there. It just kind of comes down to whether you're hitting your shots or not.
100% accurate. And the reality is, and we've done it realistically one game against a really good opponent. One game this year so far, we've shot really good percentages, hit 11 or 12 threes. That was against Hillsboro, a high quality team. We know we're capable of it. I've got guys on this team that can absolutely put the ball in the hole. You know, kind of our three-headed monster at the top. Other guys are fully capable, but with Lincoln Holscher, Sam Rick, and Jeter Schooler, if they're getting in that 12 to 16 range each, that's where we need to be. But if we're not there, then someone else has to step up and make some shots. And yeah, that's what we know we are. We're, it's good to be a good defensive team. It's always going to give you a chance. And hopefully starting today, we the rim starts getting big for us and we can start shooting some better percentages because we're fully capable.
Yeah, you outscored Duel 30. Well, I got the scores right here in front of me. 31-14 there in the second half. And again, holding a team. Well, they scored 16 points in the first quarter, and then they scored 22 points in the remaining three quarters. So that's what we talked about with the defense, the Milbank defense. You really put the guzla on them and made it difficult. Anytime you're holding an opponent to under 10 points a quarter, that's great.
Yeah, and that's really kind of always our goal, and a lot of teams are going to make that difficult. Obviously, we talked briefly about Groton. They're one of those teams that can hit you so many different ways, so it's really difficult against a team like them. But, you know, a lot of these other NEC teams, quality teams, whether their record shows it or not, and Duel is one, they run some good stuff, and they have a really good guard in the Troy Jensen kid, and he's a handful. He can attack really well. He can make shots in mid-range. You know, you don't see a lot of guards in today's game be a good mid-range player, and he is. So you got to guard him everywhere from the rim to the mid-range to the three-point line. And I thought down the stretch we did a really good job of controlling his penetration. It's a lot with every game out. It's a lot of the same with every game out today. Tri-Valley's got a couple good players, but they've got a really good guard in the Brady Jewett kid. So our scouting report's going to be a lot of the same. We got to control those good guards' penetration, and then that can lead to what you just said, trying to keep teams at 10 or under for a quarter.
You know, it's as we tick down the schedule last day of January, we just kind of taking a look at the games that we have left. As we mentioned with Coach Howard, there's a lot of basketball to be played in the next three or so weeks. You'll be very busy, starting with the DAC-12 NEC clash coming up against Tri-Valley, who, again, record might not be tremendous, but they play great competition.
They absolutely do. The down here today in Madison at the NEC DAC-12 clash, the DAC-12 is widely recognized as the best conference in South Dakota basketball. They've always got teams in that conference that maybe some don't even make it to state due to their region, but they've always got teams that are capable of making a state championship run, not just a state tournament run. So Tri-Valley has a very difficult schedule. But they play really hard. That's the one thing in all the film we've been watching. They play really hard. They've got a really good guard who can fill it up in a bunch of ways. And they don't have size, so they've been sitting in a 2-3 zone all year long. And as we've talked about as a team with Milbank, where we've struggled to shoot, we've got to be really good at attacking that zone, getting some looks inside at the rim with our size advantage over them, and then get our threes as a secondary. So we can't just settle for threes is what I'm getting at today, because Tri-Valley is going to try their best to make things difficult for us.
And then, of course, you're at Hamlin coming up as part of a doubleheader. The Hamlin, as we talked about earlier with Coach Howard, Hamlin's got themselves quite the basketball, I was going to say basketball program, but programs, the girls and the boys, both fantastic basketball teams.
Yeah, they really do. A couple teams in our conference that are really good on both sides. You know, Milbank, we're on the cusp. We feel like both programs are solid. And I think Groton, we know what their boys are. Their girls are rock solid. Clark, Willow Lake, and Hamlin. So I know on Tuesday night when we play Hamlin, they've been on a real run the last handful of years. They graduated a ton of their talent last year that have been to state championship games and won a state championship. But they still got a couple guys left over from those teams that are really good, and that's led to their success this year. If anyone's writing off Hamlin this year because of what they graduated, I think that's a little negligent, because they're still really, really quality. We know we'll have our hands full, but just like I talked about Groton, there's always a way. So we gotta come up with a game plan when we get to that game and show up and compete against those guys.
Then at Aberdeen, Ron Colley, always, now their record isn't what they probably want it to be, but that's always a great rivalry game.
Yeah, and it has been the last couple of years, especially last year. You know, both of us are vying for that second seed so we could host a region game. We knew we were both going to be in the 2 and 3, so, you know, avoiding Groton was going to be mission accomplished for both of us. But those games are always battles. They were last year. We were fortunate to beat them in the regular season. Had a better record, but seed points made us go through them at their place, and that was a packed house, tight game that we got the best in the end. They graduated some guys. They graduated their size. But again, they've got a couple guys left over. And the thing about Ron Colley, they're always full of shooters, and they're willing shooters. And, you know, they just beat Britain the other night against that 1-3-1 zone, and they just make a lot of shots. So they're going to be, and for whatever reason, when we play NEC teams, they all have Milbank circled. They want to beat Milbank, so we know we're going to get Roncalli and Hamlin's best next week, no question about it.
Coach, appreciate it. Best of luck. Again, we'll have the game for you. I would imagine about a 3:30 tip this afternoon against Tri-Valley here on KMSD video audio stream, BigStoneRadio.com, and on our YouTube page. Got a lot of basketball to break down. Coach, best of luck this week, and look forward to covering you as always, and we'll chat again next Saturday.
Sounds great. Thanks for all the coverage. Go Dogs.
Classic Hits, 95.1 KMSD. Let's talk a little wrestling on Coach's Corner. Coach Winter is on line one. Coach, always good to have you on the program. Thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, thanks for having me again this week.
Let's talk about the week that was for the Milbank wrestling team coming up, as we've only got a few weeks left to the postseason. It's hard to believe. Season's going by quick.
Yes, it is going by very quick. Before we know it, it'll be regions time and then state, so it's been good. We've learned a lot so far, and we just continue to get better. Last week we were in Chamberlain on Saturday for the River City Rumble for the boys and the girls. On the girls' side, Kira Tossenson won the tournament, ended up beating the number 4 ranked girls from Bonholm, Scotland, Avon down there. So that was a really good match for her, and then Mackenzie Mueller ended up with third, so they had very good matches all day, and it was good for Kira to get a big win down there. And then on the boys' side, we had a little bit more of a tough tournament for the boys. We only ended up with 3 placers down there. Kyle Schneck ended up with third at 150, and then Hunter Reedy ended up winning the tournament down there, so that was cool to see him get his first tournament win of the year. And then Lawson Novi ended up with second. We were in a really good battle with the number 3 ranked kid in the state from Mitchell, and we ended up losing that one there in the last 30 seconds, and that was a very good match and got Lawson some good experience. And, you know, coming up this week, we have the Brookings tournament on Saturday here, so That'll hopefully be one of our rematches that we get between the Mitchell kid, and then hopefully we get to wrestle the Madison kid as well. So that'll be some good matches for Lawson coming up. And then overall, the tournament last weekend on Saturday in Chamberlain was a pretty good success. It was fun having one kid win it and 2 kids in the finals. So that was fun to be a part of. And, you know, the kids work hard and they deserved it. So.
Yeah, I would imagine that tournaments like that get you fired up for the postseason, because, you know, as we mentioned before, it's time is ticking.
Yep, time is ticking. It's going by quick, and yeah, those big matches with the top ranked kids in the state, you know, especially for Lost, and those are good experience matches, and we know what we have to do to beat them, you know, this time around, and hopefully we can pull a couple of those wins out here when it really matters at that region's time and state tournament time.
So, Coach, let's talk a little bit about that. How do you turn a close loss into a win?
Well, we basically find as the head coach here and with a lot of experience in wrestling, all of my coaching staff has a lot of experience, and we kind of sit down and, you know, I focused a lot on the film. I find the things that we did wrong. We focus more on ourselves than what the opponent is doing. We find the things that we're good at, and we need to focus on doing those and wrestling our style match instead of, you know, adhering to the opponent's style. And we figure out things that work for us. And if we have to change one thing to make it a little bit easier to get our offense going, we work on that. And so there's a lot of the matches where I'll stay up, you know, we get home late and I'll stay up and can't get it out of my head, and I have to watch it 5, 6, 7 times and find things that make us better and make us good at the things that we want to do. And we basically just focus on ourselves and not so much the opponent. We try to make things easier on ourselves, and that's how we turn the corner and improve week to week. And it's just focusing on ourselves, keeping our head down, and working hard.
So is that it for the, I guess, breaking down the week that was, or did you have another tournament that we needed to talk about?
We had a triangular on Tuesday with Webster and Siston, and we ended up having some good matches against Webster. We wrestled tough against them and come out with a dual win there, so that was good to get the kids another dual win. And then we wrestled Sisson at the end of the night there, and that one did not go as planned, and we came out flat-footed, and, you know, it just was kind of shocking to us as a coaching staff. We didn't have a lot of effort, and there wasn't a whole lot of enthusiasm. We wrestled more timid than what we had just talked about prior to the duel beginning, and, you know, it was just some disappointment from the coaching staff and, you know, as far as how the kids performed. And so we ended up losing that one. I believe it was like 56-18, and, you know, we didn't win a match. We had to wrestle. So Wednesday and Thursday here this week, we really ramped it up, and we made sure that these kids are going to be very physical from this point on. And losing the system is never fun, so we took that to heart, and we have a lot of motivation going into this weekend and fixing things and making sure we're actually wrestling the way that we're supposed to wrestle. So hopefully we have some good results to turn around from Tuesday's meet to Saturday. So they definitely have put in the work, and, you know, us as a coaching staff were disappointed, but hey, we got on the right side of it and got back to work, and, you know, we're turning a corner here. We're changing a lot of things in this program, and, you know, it's for the better, and hopefully we see some good results come out of it.
And, of course, today, as folks are listening to this, this is recorded because you've got a meet today, right?
Yep, that is correct. Today we're in Brookings, and, you know, we have a lot of good matches and opponents come to this meet here. So we're hopefully wrestling good and have some good results here at the end.
How's the health of the team as we get in the last couple weeks of the season, Coach?
Yeah, this week we've really struggled with that stomach bug going around, and then influenza B really, really hitting home on the wrestling team here. We've had a lot of kids sick, and, you know, it seemed like we kind of turned the corner for the better here on Thursday, Friday. So we should have a full lineup here this weekend, and, you know, I think we have 10 kids here wrestling on Brookings on Saturday. So that'll be good for us, and hopefully we're out of the sickness season and can stay healthy here as we get towards the end.
Coach, always great to have you on the program. Best of luck. Looking forward to breaking it down next Saturday. In the meantime, appreciate it as always. Good luck this weekend and next week, and we'll talk next Saturday.
That sounds great. Thanks for having me.